Welcome to It's All Bad.
No pain, no crane.
Thanks for listening to It's All Bad. Like and subscribe. Shoot us some ideas for some guests. Thank you guys for hanging in with us. We're back.
Welcome back to It's All Bad. My name's Keith.
What up? I'm Danny.
Hey, what's up? It's Reno.
And we're here with Mike Crane. What up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Michael
what's
Crane.
What's up, Mike?
Dude, thanks so much for coming on.
Dude, thanks for having me.
We were like, who are we going to have on? We had some people planned. Somebody backed out. And then I ran into you literally at Lassen's.
Kamala Harris backed out last minute.
I thought it was Trump. I thought Trump was on the...
We bumped Trump for you.
I wonder if we could get RFK now.
Now
that he's done with the campaign.
Or I could just do an impression of him. I'll talk about my policies.
That was great. Really fucking phenomenal. Good.
Yeah. You know what's so crazy is I worry I'm going to sound like him in like fucking 5 years.
Dude, I hope you do.
5 years?
What about him and the bear? Right? Hey. Did you hear about that?
Dude, all this shit's coming out about him.
Wait, what's the bear? What happened?
Hey, what about I'm worried I'm going to sound like him in 5 years. You mean 5 years ago, fool? Should we get started?
Yes.
Happy birthday to Tokes. It was Tokes'
birthday. Yeah, happy birthday, Tokes.
And Tokes and I had a moment. I don't know if we talked about it or not, but we had a total training day moment back in the day when him and I were back in our past lives doing the things that we used to do. But we were driving. We met these guys that were out in a... City Terrace. No, City Terrace, right?
Okay.
So, like, just east of that, not that deep east.
It's the Beverly Hills of East LA.
Yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to call it that, but sure. And we went out there, and we knew some dudes that were out there, and they were like, hey, we got really good blow, you know? And we're like, all right, cool. And I tried it, and I was like, dude, it's really good. So I hit him up, and I was like, dude, they got really good blow. He's like, all right, let's go. He had an old, I think an 84 Chevy Caprice at the time. So he came and picked me up, and we drive out there, and we call the guy that I knew, and he was like, yo, I'm not there, but my cousin is. Don't worry, you're all good. Just fucking pull up. And we got a lot of cash, and we're picking up a lot of cocaine, and we pull up to walk in and get this cocaine, and I come up, and Tokes is like, yo, and it's east, you know, there's no parking there. You know, this is like 15 years ago, but still, there ain't no fucking parking, you know?
A lot of cars
parked in the middle of the street.
I'm seeing it training day style.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Lots of cars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we walk, you know, and I walk up, and I don't know, I've never even been to the fucking house. And this is like a cousin of a dude that's from, that I know from my graffiti crew, you know, that vouched for me. And I pull up, and he looks at us, and he comes out, and he, like, you know, he's like from the neighborhood. He's not, you know, and he looks at me, and it's like, white dude. Black dude, was like, nah. So we're like, what? And he's like, nah. So I'm like, hey, call fucking, I'm not going to say that. Call old boy. And he calls him. He goes, okay, come in. And he comes in. He's like, come in. He's like, sit down right there. And these dudes come, and there's nothing in the whole house. Like, whole house is empty. There's one couch in it.
Oh, that's so
sketchy. He comes out. He's like, get the money out. It was like a couch, a coffee table. We put it down. He walks out. He takes the money, and he walks out of the room and just leaves us there. And we're sitting there.
Oh, shit.
And we're like, they might never come back, you know? But that's best case scenario, right? And they come back in. The guy comes in. He has whatever. I don't remember how many. It was like a few ounces of blow that we got. He was like, here, try it out. And he looks at
Anyone else's nuts getting tight right now?
Yeah.
My nuts are getting
Yeah, he looks
tight.
At me and he looks at Tokes. He gives Tokes the cocaine. Yeah. We try it. We're like, all right, cool. And he looks at him and he goes, hey, next time, you don't need the white boy. Just come on your own. Because he knew Tokes had the money, but I made the connection, you know?
Damn.
And his homie comes out. He goes, yeah, don't fuck with me. Like, only if you want to come here, come here. And Tokes is like, nah, that ain't how this works. He goes, that's my boy. He brought me here. I ain't coming here on my own. Y'all want to fuck with me? He's going to be the one calling you.
Tokes did that?
Yeah.
No
like
way.
Straight up. And they were like, okay.
Word.
You know, really? Yeah. We walked out. But it was like total training. We were like, there was a point. We walked out of there. We got in the car. He was like, hey, he's like, I didn't know if we were going to walk out of there alive or not. And I was like, me either. He goes, hey, I just knew as long as I was dying, at least we were going out together.
You know? For real.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Tokes.
Happy birthday, Tokes.
Yeah. Stood tall. Yeah. He stood tall.
Wait, tell Mike Crane about the fence downtown. I don't think he knows about it.
Wait, what's the...
The guy on 7th and Spring, you walked through the liquor store?
Dude. So we had this guy, Persian Ben. He was a guy, he passed away, so I could talk about him. He had a convenience store, and he would walk into the convenience store, and literally it was a regular-ass convenience store.
Seventh and Spring.
Yeah. It's now been turned into a Silver Lake Ramen. You know?
No shit.
6th and Spring.
When it was a huge, open, indoor, like, bazaar. Do you remember that? That area that you would walk
to buy dope? I do remember that. Yeah. No. This is like maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, 12, 13 years ago. Yeah. So, and it was like... downtown had kind of started gentrifying a little bit, but
revitalized.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
That neighborhood was first.
That neighborhood was first. Yeah. Spring. Yeah. Exactly. Totally. But he had a liquor store, and you would walk in, and the front was it was a regular ass liquor store, and you know it was
porno mag section.
Yeah,
all that.
Yeah. No porno mags. Not even that regular. You know, and you would walk up, and upstairs there was a staircase, and you would walk up, you'd hit a little buzzer, and he'd buzz you in, and you would walk upstairs, and he had his little office up there, and it was just like a few couches, and this dude would be sitting there, and he smoked heroin. Usually off of, for a while, he would only smoke it off of clips because he was like, you know, like how like the Armenians are the person
doing
it.
Yeah.
Then he started smoking. Then he started doing it off of foil. But there was one rule, and there was no, you couldn't shoot up in there. No needles, you know, but anything else went. And you could literally bring the motherfucker anything, like anything, and you would leave with some dope. You know?
That's so
it didn't
rad.
Matter if it was like a TV, a couch. Man. Yeah, whatever. There was one day when I came in there and there was a stolen Picasso in there.
Oh, no way.
Damn. A real one?
Yeah, a real stolen. Damn. Yeah. And he was like, oh, someone bring it to me.
That motherfucker got broke.
He didn't
off.
Take any, yeah, any, probably not. Probably got like a TV.
There's just like electronics everywhere.
Electronics everywhere. And, you would come in and hang out. Yeah. And it was crazy because it was like a regular fucking store. But upstairs, and people would come up and like they'd try to hang out there. There was one time a guy tried to rob him and he had him stripped down, butt naked to show that he didn't have any dope on him. And then he found a fucking, like a little tiny piece of .2 of dope on this dude and he was naked. I forget what he did. I think he got a cattle prod and started cattle prodding him. And the dude ran out the store butt naked. Daylight. Ran out through the liquor store and ran away. Yeah.
Holy shit. No, I've
never
been to that store.
As we're coming up, this is going down. And I was like, well, it's another Tuesday. You know, what are you going to do? Yeah.
Just another Tuesday. Yeah.
It's like Crazy Gideon's.
Yeah, literally Crazy Gideon. Yeah.
Where'd you grow up, Mike?
I was born in Michigan. And
shout out Mish.
Yeah, Northern Michigan, and then but moved to California with my mom in 1978.
Oh, when you were a kid.
Uh huh.
That's like me.
Are you from the Upper Peninsula? Like
Lower Peninsula.
Okay.
Cadillac.
Like, okay.
No way. Cadillac, it's called Michigan. Cadillac.
Yeah.
Dope.
It's not a dope place.
All those cities. I was just in Michigan visiting my wife's family, and Plymouth is a little Pontiac. Town. Cadillac, Pontiac.
Uh huh. Named after the car companies.
Yeah. Well, the car
companies are named after the fucking city.
For real? Yeah. I honestly didn't
Well, they
know
were
that.
All Chief Pontiac, Chief Plymouth. I'm
really?
Pretty sure.
Oh.
What about Chief Buick Skylark?
That's pretty fucking badass.
Just fucking
He's
around.
The coolest one.
I'm clowning. I'm native. I got my card in my wallet.
So everyone take it easy.
You and Renee.
The Chiefs.
The Chief, dude. Yeah. And then, but so then I think the first place we moved was San Jose. I was four. And then my dad came out shortly after. And then we ended up in Los Angeles, in the Valley.
Cool. Oh,
so mainly, I grew up in the Valley.
Valley.
818.
Hell yeah.
Yep. Cool. Went to Canoga High School.
Ugh.
It was the worst experience of my fucking life, dude. It was horrible.
Just
it was,
all right? homies fucking with you all
it
the time.
It was bad.
All cholos, right?
All cholos. All gang members, especially at that time. So I went to Winneka Elementary, so Northridge, that was fine. Like, it was still the 80s. But then, like, 89, I guess, is when I was in ninth grade, or 88, somewhere in there. But that's like, I always tell people, like you guys will understand, there's like before colors came out and then after.
Straight up. No, you're not fucking lying.
Everything changed. No one wanted to skate anymore. All my skater friends turned into wanted to be gang members.
Dude,
really?
Oh, yeah. It completely. And then NWA, that record came out.
Yep.
Everyone was a tough guy.
That's my same time frame, too. I mean, all my friends kept skating, but like, everybody listened to NWA, and if you were a half-ass gangster or weed dealer or whatever, you were talking all that shit and like trying to be all like, yeah, it was so funny. Like that, you think back now, like a movie had people emulating, pretending to be in these fucking insane gangs. It's just like crazy.
Big time.
Carrying guns.
All the white kids, everyone bought mini trucks and wore cross colors and dude. They all were bangers all of a sudden.
That's so crazy.
It sucked.
Is that when did you start getting loaded?
Not until 94, late.
So after high school?
Yeah. Wow. I was a hardcore skater and just played guitar. I didn't have any friends. I was already like isolated in my brain. Like, I should have started getting loaded way sooner. I would have had friends.
Were you listening to all those like skate punk bands back then?
Oh yeah,
shit?
Fuck yeah. I loved all that shit.
Oh yeah.
But like mostly metal, like Metallica and Slayer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all that stuff. And my dad was always in bands, so I was like accustomed to that world really young of just like debauchery.
Was he in like metal bands?
No, he was in like really shitty party rock.
Like, really?
Yeah, full on.
Like, what do you mean, like covers and shit?
No, like they had originals, but his band, I shouldn't say shitty, that's horrible, because he's going to hear this. Dad, your bands are fucking ripping.
Yeah, you got to back your dad.
Yeah. His last band was called... was called Rager.
I can't say shit. That's a letter off from my last name.
Rager. Yeah, and they just did keg parties. That's all they did.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. Wow.
He loved music then.
Yeah.
That's so dope.
And loved to party, apparently, too.
Dude. Oh, my God. My dad was fucking... He is. He's toned down a lot, but he used to come to Alvarado. He would come to all the meetings. New
really?
Hope. Yeah, my dad's been in and out of the rooms forever.
Did we know him? No.
Lefty. He's got one arm. He's a fucking wild man.
Wow.
Is he around right now?
He mostly in the valley. Like he never comes over here at all. But he, dude.
How did he lose his arm?
In 1984, he was trimming. He used to trim trees, and he was all like fucking snow blind and fucked up from being up all night. And this was out in the valley, and they were cutting. I forget what kind of tree they were completely. I guess falling, they call it. They were completely taking it down. And he wasn't paying attention. He wasn't sure where he was supposed to go. And he walked. He went behind a corner of a garage, and he didn't see it, that it had kind of shifted, because they try to guide it with ropes and stuff to pull it down. And a branch caught him on the way down, but like it was a huge fucking tree. So it smashed him into the sidewalk. It shattered the concrete.
Oh, my God.
It cracked his skull, broke his jaw, broke both pelvises, broke one of his femurs, and it crushed off his arm.
God damn.
So it basically, he was...
I think it should have killed him.
Yeah, it should have killed him.
Wow.
But his buddy that he was up doing coke all night with was like super fucking speedy and... ripped off his belt and tied a quick tourniquet to keep him from bleeding out.
Yeah. No way.
That was gnarly. Yeah. 1984. I remember that.
Wow.
Because we were coming home from the Simi Valley swap meet. and we got the news.
Wow.
But so he's fucking insane. My dad is... I didn't know my dad had any kind of like drug or alcohol problem. He seemed fine. Like always. He just liked to party. But then it wasn't until after that where, like, the pain pills and everything really got a hold of him.
Right.
And then I kind of came of age, and the first time I really realized how bad it had gotten for him was he'd moved to Echo Park. It was 1994. And Echo Park in 94, you didn't move there. At all.
Yeah.
And he was dating like this chick from the neighborhood, and they were doing speed together, and like she was like a metal, like a stoner chola.
And
he's like, I got this big house, bro, you got to come move in, you know, you can have a room. And I was like, all right, cool. And so I moved over there, and I'll get into the stories right now. So it was broad daylight, and it was like up on Laguna. And our garage was on Echo Park Avenue, like right across from the park. And I was carrying my stuff from my car into the house. I took one load, I came back up, grabbed something else, I came back down, and there were like junkies going through all my shit.
No.
Stealing shit. And I was like, what the fuck?
In the house?
Yeah. Right away.
Oh, immediately. Wow.
They were like his homies.
No, or just like they were from the park.
Oh, wow.
They just saw us moving in, and they just...
Wait, in your car or in the house?
House.
No way.
Yeah. Shit.
Right away. And I was tiny, you know. I was like, hey. And they were just like, oh, sorry, dude. Hey. Oh, our mistake. And they left. And I was like, Dad, I don't know about this. What the fuck?
That's wild. Oh. That's fucking wild.
And that was like when I was already heavy into doing bands. And I remember... So we had our garage right on Echo Park Avenue. Now it's like fucking nice, and someone put a lot of money into it. But we had mattresses against the back of the door, and we would jam out in there. And I remember one night, this was early on, some of us went outside after we were jamming, and they were like, we were all smoking and stuff, sitting there in the dark. And this car pulls up really slow in front of us, like a fucking primered Monte Carlo, all lowered and shit.
Right, right.
Like immediate probable cause. And they pull up in front of us and we're all, and they, all these dudes get like lean out of the windows with fucking like AKs, ARs, everything. But we're sitting here, they were looking at the park and they just emptied all their magazines into the park.
Fuck.
Fucking shells going everywhere.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
This was like one of the first nights we started jamming there. And all my white friends at the time, they're all, hey, bro, we're never coming back. That was it.
Damn.
That was my introduction.
You're like, what? I thought you guys liked NWA.
Yeah. Where are those fucking blue bandanas now?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah.
So
that shit seems to be kind of gone now, right?
What?
The gang shit?
I don't know.
A little bit. I mean, so when I was living in Echo Park pretty recently, and there was a... Yeah, it's weird because, like, dude, yeah, I mean... It's changed a lot.
It's changed,
it's
right?
It's changed. We're like, you know, I think the injunction really like changed it. Where like they can't kick it with more than so many, or the cops can roll them. Mm-hmm. That kind of switched it up. But there's still, you know, like there was a dude from the neighborhood who got tried to at the liquor store. This is like a few years ago. He walked up on somebody there and was like, hey, like talking shit to somebody in the liquor store. So like one of the dudes from the neighborhood, older, drunk, was like, hey, blah, 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 talking shit, like trying to get a beer in the morning. And there was a little old man that like came in there and he was trying to get something, like cigarettes. There's that little liquor store on Echo Park Ave, like kind of if you go north, you know, the one. And not the one on the east side, but the one on the, I guess, the west side of Echo Park, kind of like by Valerie over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy went in there. He was like trying to like harass the fucking register, you know, and he comes in there every day. He's just like a fucking drunk, you know, and he came in and the guy, like he said some shit to the little older white man that was in there. And he was like, fuck, what the fuck you going to do? And the guy said, oh, walked out to his car, grabbed a gun, came back in, shot him and drove off.
Damn.
Yeah. This is recently. Like,
the old man shot him?
The old man. The old man driving through, grabbing a fucking whatever, pack of cigarettes.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, like 9 a.m. in the morning. Damn. That's like a dude from the neighborhood, you know, that got shot. You hear about shit, but it's not like it was, you know? It's not like dudes like out with fucking...
No, yeah.
Dudes used to go like out kamikaze style. Like
hunting.
Come out with two straps, fucking, you know, suicide by cop. All, you don't hear about shit. That shit don't really go down no more. Like... The scary thing is now the kids, like, because a lot of the dudes that, like, got the dudes that got busted, or the dudes that got out, or the dudes that died, like, the youngsters that are, you know, there's certain areas, I'm not going to name any names, you know, but there's, like, certain neighborhoods which are, like, very active, you know, and it's these, like, younger kids that will, like, go and will, like, catch tags on cars that are in their fucking hood, or just, like, will, like, randomly rob fools. I was riding bikes with Chris Paulson not too far from here one day, and, like, some fool pulled up on us and I was like, hey, homie, give me your bike. You know, and we're like, no, you know, we're on our bike. He's like, hey, pull over, give me your bike. And then like pulled a strap on us, like while we're riding bikes. Yeah. And we're like, we're just going to ride faster. Like, you know? Yeah.
What the fuck? Oh, wait,
that reminds me of a funny story in Echo Park.
Yeah,
this is in sobriety.
Yeah.
I was working at Chongo. We all worked there in early sobriety. Me, Blair, fucking Dave Sender, like a bunch of people. And Tokes was always coming in there. It was like the early... AA hangout for a while, and I was closing. It was a Monday night because I was going to go to Alvarado, and I'm going out to get the tables, bringing them in, you know, like hosing them off and stuff. I bring some stuff in, and I go back out, and so this was like what, 2006, 2007, and there was like 15 like youngsters from the neighborhood, all banged out with their girls, and they just posted up on all the tables. And all the chairs that I was trying to bring in. And I was like, fuck, dude. And they were just like, what up? And I was like, oh, my God. So I went back in and I was like, fuck, think fast, Mike, think fast. So I made them all Arnold Palmers.
Hell yeah.
And I brought out a tray with fucking badass. We would put the mint on top.
Oh, yeah.
And make them really nice.
Nice.
And I just brought them out. I'm like, you guys look thirsty. And they were like, oh, yeah. Hey, thanks, dog. Hey. They were so stoked. Yeah.
That shit goes a long way. Yeah.
They were super fucking nice. And the girls were like, oh, do you need us to move? We'll move. And Renee was parked. He was on his way. It was when he was, I think, living up with Ingrid or whatever. And he was on his way to Alvarado, too. And then I saw him at the meeting, and he's like, fuck, bro, I was waiting there to get you out of there. I didn't know if you were going to get beat up. He's like, yeah, he's like, I was watching the whole time.
No way.
Nothing about it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's super, super
like a charm.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
So how did you go from the Echo Park house with your dad to Renee says that there's some Gil Turner's liquor stories.
Oh, dude. Oh, my God.
How'd you end up in West Hollywood?
So that was before. That would have been before this. I was 20, going on 21. Yeah, I that is when I started drinking and smoking and doing everything was at Gil Turner's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So my friend Brandon.
And this is a legendary liquor store in West
Hollywood. Yeah, the most.
Legendary. It's the most legendary in all of L.A.
Yeah.
Like that and Circus.
Dude, totally. Just in my short amount of time there, I got stories.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But like.
Were you living over there?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Nope.
So you were working over there?
Yeah.
Yep. So you take the bus down there and go to work?
No, I drove. I started as a delivery, like a delivery boy.
Oh, right, right.
And so, you were working at Gil Turner's?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
My friend Brandon got me the job.
This is going to be good.
He grew up in the Valley, too, with Callie and Renee and everyone. Yeah, yeah. Like, they all went to El Camino together. They got to go to El Camino, and I had to go to fucking Canoga. I was so pissed. Anyways, so...
You didn't try to transfer, like...
Oh, you knew all them dudes when you were a kid?
After high school, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We used to go to this place, Jabberjaw.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
It's a legendary coffee house, band spot,
that place changed my life.
Nirvana, Hole, like all the bands, right?
Yeah. That place totally
changed my life. So let's get back to Gil Turner.
So Brandon got me the job, and I was a delivery driver, and... Basically, celebs would just order, like, food. They would order food, and, like, when they had parties, we would bring up all kegs of beer or cases of Cristal or whatever it was.
So who were some of the deliveries that you did when you were in the early, like, celebs?
We delivered a lot to Mickey Rourke.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
A lot to that dude. Tom Petty and a lot of guys in his band. Who else? Fuck.
Just all the crew.
There was a lot of people. So I started getting tipped in Coke. And I was like, nah, rad. Yeah, yeah. And I was
Fuck, yeah.
Okay.
And at this point, you're already dabbling.
I started drinking, smoking. Like the band thing is starting to take off. I'm getting
like, what is a Hollywood Hills tip bag of Coke like?
Back
gram?
Then? Jeez, dude, I don't remember.
Last year
I don't
all
remember.
Night?
No, they were just like, hey, you want a bump? You know, I was like, yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they would
okay.
just invite me in and give me stuff. But then, so.
Boogie Nights shit.
Yeah. It got weird. So what happened? Someone got fired. People were always getting fired there. And I got promoted, and then I became manager. And then, like, oh, yeah. So there was a while there where I remember Callie had just gotten his job at Geffen right across the street.
Oh, dope.
A&R or something, and his brother worked there too, Pat. So we all worked together. Not much got done. A lot of money ended.
Wait, you all worked at Gil Turner's together? Yeah. No way.
Callie was across the street at Geffen.
Oh, he
had like a legit job.
But Pat worked with you.
Yeah, you and Pat are at Gil Turner. Yep.
Oh, and Roxy.
Oh yeah,
Roxy. Yeah, he was there. And that's when first time I met all those guys because I hadn't even started doing hard drugs yet. But, like, Roxy, they already had a history.
Yeah.
Roxy had just gotten sober, I remember. And that was his first job, I think, in sobriety. So this was, like, what, 94, 95?
Oh, wow.
95? I don't know if that tracks, but... And I remember talking, like, we were talking about music stuff. And I'm like, dude, so what kind of guitar do you play? He goes, bro, I was a junkie for 20 years. I don't play anything. I own nothing. Like, he was really
Roxy
salty.
Said that.
Yeah.
That's a
really
moment
salty.
Of fucking
yeah.
honesty, brutal yeah. honesty right there.
But he was really funny, I remember. Yeah. Super funny. I love that dude.
Yeah.
But then, okay, so I got promoted to manager, and then I just started stealing like a motherfucker.
Oh, damn.
Dude, we all were stealing. I was just the life of the party for a long time. I would bring... To everyone's house, I would bring like a bottle of Cristal or Dom. Like we would just take, because they weren't keeping track of shit. Gil Turner, he was getting really old and on a lot of fucking heavy drugs at this point. And there was another guy running the place for him who just lived at his house. And like, he was just fucking
cleaning
up too.
It was just a fucking ATF.
Yeah. It was a free for all. Everyone was ripping that place off.
Did Gil Turner live in the hills right
oh,
there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been there for a long time.
Long time. Mm-hmm. He had bought it from somebody. But there were several nights where, like, out of nowhere, Christopher Walken would just come in, just strolling by himself, and we were like, holy shit, holy fucking shit, you know? And Sean Penn used to come in all the time. And I remember he was really fucking sketchy.
Sean Penn?
Sean Penn,
really?
For sure.
He was like nice to me and stuff and knew me by name. He would come in all the time. I remember once I closed this store up and we were leaving, and he had like this, I think a Grand National. Do you remember those fucking cars?
Yeah, I know those cars. Yeah.
Like white trash sports car.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he all souped up, and he saw me turning left on the Sunset off Doheny, and he just fucking floored it and acted like he was going to hit me and slammed on the brakes. And he's like, ha, 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 ha. Like, he was fucking nuts.
Wow.
Really sketchy.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
And, that checks out. That tracks.
Yeah. But you know who else worked there who has a lot of good stories? Is do you remember Gary? He was coming around for a while. Fuck, man, I wish I knew.
Oh, you talking about...
Wait, what's the name? Gary the dentist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We worked there together.
Wow.
He was there in the beginning.
He's not a dentist.
No. He pulled his own tooth.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Alan McDonnell nicknamed him that.
Yeah.
leave it to Alan. That's a good one.
Yeah, uh-huh. he was when I first met my wife and was getting, like, dating her heavy, her little crew, like... I can't even remember their names.
They were creeped out by him?
No, they were like trying to like take him to meetings and meet him at meetings and like go to eat with him afterward. But he kept going out on speed and getting weirder and weirder. And then I remember he just kind of like, his just like face kind of like changed at one point. Yeah. Dude, like, you know, like meth does that to people. You're just
what
like,
about I'm shooting way in the deep valley? Do you remember this story?
No. I know this story. Tell it though.
Oh, I'm coming shit. And I'm like, you know, it's like where you're like, all right, do I drive down to the 101 or go up a little bit to the 118? Up there.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, but I should have gotten the 118, but for some reason I'm like, fuck it, I want to take the 101. I stop at a CVS and I come in, there's the phones for the wire, you know, Western Union.
Uh-huh. Oh, I know them well.
I come in the, I come in the store, I get whatever, and I'm standing in line, and there's a dude, I can't see his face, but there's a dude over here on the phone, on the Western Union. No, don't, no, fuck no, don't hang up, right? And I'm like, Gary? And he turns, hey, Keith. And comes over, and he has, like, a busted-ass beat-up, like, Nissan Maxima, like, with a layer of dust, and some weird chick picking in it, and I'm like, dude. I'm like, and I thought, yeah, so.
That's Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah, he worked there, too.
No.
He
way.
Trained me. He trained me. Yep. Yep.
He trained you to steal?
Yep. Yeah. Basically, we went on a delivery, and it was John Frusciante, and he was in a bad way at that time. And you have to sign the delivery receipt, and he got blood all over it, handed it back to us. And Gary is like, you don't have to take that mic. He's like, don't worry about it.
No,
and I was like, whoa. Yeah, Gary. So he got hired back. He got fired, and then he got hired back, and it got really crazy. Mickey Rourke and his girlfriend were coming in all the time, and they would stay and party. Like, we would just go in the back.
Carrie? Otis?
And she came in once without Mickey, and she was getting high with Gary and them, and she fell out. And Gary was like, oh, my God, we're going to get our fucking asses kicked, especially at that time. And so he's like, I had to call Mickey, and I was like, hey, hi, Mickey, sir. Your girlfriend passed out, and we think she's overdosing. What do you want us to do? And he's like, I'll be right down. And so he just came down and picked her up. But Gary was like, dude, I thought he was going to beat the living shit out of us.
Yeah. Damn.
And then the owner, so Gary ended up hanging out up at the house a lot, like when it was getting really dark.
Gil Turner's house?
Yep. And Gil's brother shot himself in front of Gary.
Oh.
At the house.
No way.
Yeah. And Gary had to stay with the body until the cops got there.
Oh, like, no it got, way.
Yeah, for sure. It got really, really, really crazy up there.
Jesus Christ.
Boogie night shit.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
Jesus Christ.
What did Gil Turner's house look like?
It looked like one of the older, nice houses, like a 70s house, but up in the hills.
Like Wonderland type shit, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, dark.
Wow. You walk in and Sister Christian, know the time has come.
And you could you walk there from the store?
No,
it was like drive up on.
It was
like,
way up there.
Would you be delivering shit and there was like to orgies and shit like that?
No, I never walked in on anything like that.
Yeah.
No.
But parties, right?
A lot of parties. Yeah, it was wild. And then I eventually got fired because then I started getting into dope. that's when I was getting in into the hard stuff.
Into heroin. Yep. Dope. Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. So tell, no, I mean, look, I'm an ex-heroin addict. Oh. Danny too. So was this during the Persian heroin time with the?
I mean, it was Bonnie Bray tar.
Okay.
It was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Patty Mac told me one time, tar has always been king in this town.
Yeah, it was Bonnie Bray tar.
Straight yeah. up. Bonnie Bray was the spot, huh?
That was the spot.
And was it just $20 balloons, or like, could you just buy as big of a piece
$5
as you wanted?
Balloons, right?
They were, that was downtown, they were uh-huh. five. That was like on 6th and Spring, uh-huh. the track, the whole circle.
And what would that be, like a 0.10, like a dime?
I don't know. You never met. You didn't, if you were getting balloons downtown, you didn't have a scale to put them on. Yeah. You would have clucked the scale by that shit, point. Exactly. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But when I first started going to Bonnie Bray, they were $15.
Oh.
Right.
And then they went up to 20. So yeah. I guess they probably were trying to be 0.2.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is, when was the last time you drove down there?
Sometimes I'll pass by there. Yeah, there's a Home Depot and.
Yeah, it's insane down there right now.
Is it?
It's crazier down there right now than it was in the 90s and it was in the early 2000s.
Active?
It's fucking crazy.
Where?
By MacArthur Park.
Is it?
MacArthur
oh,
Park
shit.
Took like forget about Skid Row, forget about all of it. It's like fucking kids that are on fentanyl that are smoking
really?
It. Out in fucking public. There's organizations that go around stapling Narcan to all the trees in fucking
no
in
way.
MacArthur Park because there's so many motherfuckers falling
oh
out.
My
yeah.
God.
I've heard eight units of Narcan to bring people out of overdoses. And it's like that alley that goes behind, I guess what used to be the 99 cent store and now it's
oh,
not
yeah.
whatever it is now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't drive down the motherfucker because it's just like not, and I shit you not, hundreds, maybe thousands of people living down there. The park is like, dude, the owner of Langer's, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Langer
oh, yeah,
came
yeah.
out and was like, if you don't fucking do something about this, I'm shutting down Langer's. Fuck this. I'm done, you know? He goes, this is fucked. Like, I can't operate a business. He's
and
like,
that dude's been there 75 years.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
this
came
is the worst
in, yeah.
it's ever
yeah.
been.
The worst, yeah. So, like, immediately, 2 days later, fucking the mayor's there. Karen Bass is fucking, bam, shows up. He's like, I need you to put in football stadium lighting in the fucking park. I need you to clean this shit up or I'm fucking out of here. And they were like, we're going to do whatever we can. We can't have a fucking an
bro,
institute bro, like Langer's.
We're going to end up like
dude,
the Bay Area.
There's going to be fucking
everyone
yeah.
left.
Yeah.
Everyone's
yeah.
peaceful.
So, I mean, it's worse down there now than it was.
They cleaned up San Francisco. Did you hear that?
No, they did.
Oh, dude, they had bulldozers taking out homeless encampments. They're not bullshit. Newsom is not going to give money to people who have homeless encampments.
Oh.
It's a state mandate that you have to get rid of them.
God, dude. Crazy.
Is there
shit.
Camps in that park?
Dude, it's all, yeah. I mean, it's unlike anything you've ever seen.
Really?
It's unlike, I mean, it's worse than Skid Row ever was.
No way.
Yeah. It's dudes that are just like standing up, nodding out. It's in
lawless.
Fucking insane. Yeah.
Completely
no,
lawless.
Yeah. No fucking law.
You know what's weird? I probably haven't driven by MacArthur Park in years. Literally, not once.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, trip out.
You never really need to go through that neighborhood for much, like unless.
Yeah.
But it was like in the 90s when I first went down there, it was fucking crazy. Like in the way that it was an open air controlled drug market.
Controlled?
Yeah, there was. I remember my first time down there, there was a Rampart LAPD parked at the corner, just posted up.
Yeah.
It was a full-on... I was in line with other cars.
No way.
Yeah, it was
full-on.
You
would pull up,
on.
Yeah. I mean, I went... for me, it was like the thousand, like the, you know, the early 2000s, whatever, 2005, 2006. Like, but you could pull up, and literally, like, there would be dudes that would just run up to the car, and it didn't fucking matter. Yeah, Pisces running up, yeah. Or...
And kids. I had kids and like, a grandma I used to buy from.
Nuh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
You always want to like get a grandma or a teenage girl because you know you're going to get ripped off.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, or someone in a wheelchair because then they know they ain't going to take off on your ass.
Yeah. Mike Weiland went there all cracked out and sold his Levi's, trade his Levi's for a piece, but he don't wear underwear and he had to pull a trash bag out of a MacArthur Park trash can and wear it home.
Damn, this disease.
That's something else.
That's
wow.
crazy.
Yeah.
And I've heard stories about crackheads going down there and selling their shoes and fucking getting it, taking a hit and then having to figure out how to get out of there with no fucking shoes.
Yeah.
I tried to sell my ID and my social security card down there once.
No way.
I was so fucking
just like, you look, you're a citizen now. Just get it.
That was my plan. I was like, dude, someone's got, some Paisa's got to buy this.
Right?
And they were just like, no. What are they going to fucking do with that?
So crazy.
I was so desperate.
It's like a random blue-eyed white dude. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
I lived down there when I was working at Gil Turner's. And before I got into hard drugs, I moved down there. I didn't know that neighborhood was that bad.
Wait, so you moved from the house with your dad in Echo Park. You were like, let me leave the Echo Park where dudes are fucking unloading full clips. Let me move to a better neighborhood.
West L.A. No, West L.A. was next.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, right off of Beverly Glen with a girlfriend. But right before Echo Park, it wasn't long before that, like when I left the nest. I left the valley, and the first place I went was Venice. And it was right after the riots. And I was like, oh, I'm fucking, because skateboarding, you know? Dude, I get to Venice. And this was my first night in Venice Beach in 1993. We lived on Westminster, right where the boardwalk, like the speedway, is that the alley?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. And I had a 72 Chevelle. It was my first car.
Which, it's a dope car.
Yeah, parallel parking that thing fucking sucked. But so I was, dude, literally the same thing. I was carrying my stuff up. My laundry basket and my box of books and records. And it was like, I remember it was like 11 p.m. It was really quiet. And you know, like those streets are so fucking
tight.
Narrow.
Yeah.
And I'm carrying stuff up. And this chick pulls up on a Harley, like just like, vroom, like, you know,
aggressive.
Meaning, really aggressive. And she parks right across from where I am with the car. There's a brick building there. It's still there. She pulls up. Jumps off her bike, and about like maybe 6 feet up is like the ground floor windows, but they put them really high so people can't break in, and there was bars covering half of the window, I guess to keep people out. She ran and scaled up and jumped and grabbed the bars, and pulled herself up and kicked the fucking window in, just blam, blam, crawls through, and then you just hear screaming and like. She's beating the fuck out of some chick.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And some dude's all, baby, stop. Stop. It's not what you think.
Oh,
stop.
My God.
No
then,
way.
Yeah. And this other chick's like fucking crying and shit.
Oh, my God.
And then she just casually walked out of the building. And I had my laundry basket the whole time. And I was like, and she gets on her bike and just looks at me. And she's like, what's up? And then she just took off.
No. Like a biker chick?
Was she fine?
Yeah. She was hot.
Oh, that's
hot.
She just got hotter after you telling her.
Dreads. Yeah. I remember she had dreads, which in 93, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
She had to be a real one.
She had like that Jane's Addiction vibe. She had tattoos and shit, but I was just like, whoa, dude. Wow.
Damn.
Wait, was it the light blue building right there?
I don't remember what color it is now.
I lived out there in 96. It was fucked up out there in 96. It wasn't like chill and cool.
No, dude.
I lived in Mar Vista in 96, and on the corner was like a little shopping center with a hair salon that was like a front for the cartel. There was a shooting and fucking, it was.
So I made friends with everyone pretty quick because of skateboarding. Those dudes were fucking gnarly. Like, they were skaters, but they were like,
suicidal,
mainly they were gang members first.
Yeah.
They were first about that shit.
Yeah.
And because we'd be skating and all of a sudden I'd turn around and they're just fucking going at it with like other people.
Oh,
I was like,
wow.
Whoa, dude, what the fuck?
Wow.
They were violent.
Yeah.
Like one person in particular, I'm not going to.
No names, yeah.
No names.
No names.
But dude, this is a wild story. This guy, so his whole hustle was, he was a ripping fucking skater too. Cool dude. But his whole hustle was burning people for drug money. That was his get down. That was his thing. And that building that we moved into was where he would burn people. Like, he was doing it long before we moved there.
Like, ripping off drug dealers or people that
Everybody,
wanted to buy drugs?
Because he was from the neighborhood. Nobody, like...
Oh, right.
So,
right. Yeah.
Dude. And he was, like... He was a scary dude.
Yeah.
He was gnarly. And one time in particular, we knew he was doing this now. And... So we lived on the second floor, and there was stairs that would go up to the first floor, and he pretended like his connection lived there. So one time in particular, we're coming home from skating, and he's like, hey, Holmes, like, I got this guy that wants to buy some weight. Let me use your place, all right? And we're like, no. He's like, look, motherfucker, like, I need to use your place. Here, here's $50. And he gave me $50. And I was like, okay. I mean, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And so we go up to our apartment. It's me, my friend Brandon, and these two girls that we were skating with. And he comes in with another guy. And the other guy's like, hey, how's it going? You know, I'm so-and-so. And we're like, hey, hi.
And he's I'm like, Mike. I'm Brandon.
Yeah. And the dude's like, all right, I don't want to give you the money first to this other guy. And the other guy's like, okay, well, let me see if he'll just give you this stuff first. So he goes downstairs and pretends to go into the apartment below us, but it was abandoned. And he comes back up. And he's like, yeah, man, the guy doesn't want to do it. He wants the stuff first. Or he wants the money first. And we were like, oh, my God. Oh, no. So he fucking, the dude pulled out a manila envelope packed with fucking money. Like, it was so much money. I can see why he was so aggro about it. And he took it and split and left the guy in our apartment.
Oh, shit.
And we're just sitting there like, this is, what the fuck? And and the guy starts talking to us. He's like, oh, you guys skate? Cool, yeah. He's like, I like to snowboard. You guys snowboard? We're like, yeah, we like to do all that shit. He's like, cool. And he goes, he's not coming back, is he?
Oh, shit.
Nah.
Straight up. And we're like, we don't know, man. We barely know him. And he's like, really? Because he says you guys are, like, really close. We're like, dude, we barely know him. And he's like, okay, I'll be right back. And he left, and we were like, you know, fuck, let's get the fuck out of here. What do we do? The dude left and never came back, and we never saw him again. And then we heard out that the dude was back in prison again, the guy who burned him. And then everyone told us, he's like, oh, no, that was a fucking DEA agent. He took their money and split.
No way.
He tried to burn a DEA. They eventually caught him, but he took off with their money.
Wow. No shit.
Wait, so the guy that came with the envelope was a DEA agent.
Yep.
That's dope.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, wow. That was a good one.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. Yeah. Dude. That's wild. So, yeah, that was Venice, then Echo Park, and then West LA, then MacArthur Park, because we found a bungalow. It was like, what, the Recycler back then? Was
yeah.
that the Recycler?
Yeah, Recycler.
Fucking great. And it advertised it was a standalone bungalow that they had renovated into a rehearsal space. Like, they soundproofed it. So we were like, holy shit, no fucking way. So we go down there and we're driving into the neighborhood. And my friend Chris was like, Mikey, I don't know about this neighborhood, dude. Are you sure? And I'm like, I think it'll be fine. It'll be fine. You know? And at the time, Otis was still down there, I think, at art school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's still, like, there were a few white kids that look hipstery. So we were like, look, see, there's other white kids. We'll be fine. And yeah.
And you live there?
Yeah.
Wow.
How rough
it was
rough.
We had to take our car battery out every night. Like, we left our cars
unlocked. No way. Yeah.
Oh, cause that building, okay, the one that's right across the street from MacArthur Park where the born and raised offices were,
yeah.
That was like a Otis building, right?
Oh, no? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There were dorms. Otis dorms.
Yeah, there was
dorms.
Otis dorms in that building.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I remember.
Did they move because it's so fucked up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They went back to New York. I think it just went back.
There's an Otis. Yeah, now it's in West LA. West LA, yeah.
Campus, uh-huh. But there's a New York campus, too. Yeah.
They got the memo.
Fuck. Crazy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was wild. And then it was back to Echo Park. That was my last.
You're still in Echo Park now, right?
No, Boyle Heights.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. But my final junkie years were in Echo Park.
How'd you end up getting sober?
Oh, man. Like, I did so many geographics. Like, I would go back to Michigan and kick and then just become, like, a horrible fucking alcoholic. Which, by the way, like, was 1,000 times worse. Oh, my God.
Do you just do the dumbest shit when
you're
drunk?
Dude, I got my jaw shattered when I was in a blackout. Ooh. By a skinhead.
No way.
Yeah.
In Michigan?
Yeah. Ruptured my eardrum and just fucking busted my jaw into, like, 3 pieces. Yeah.
You don't even remember it, huh?
I don't remember any of it. And then he tried to friend me on Facebook later.
No shit.
Found me. I bet you to make an amends.
I bet so. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, nah.
Nah.
Sometimes those amends, you're a little bit shook. Like, I had an essay that I grew up with in Corona that I had known since like fucking first grade. But then like when we got older, he got into like gangs and super heavy and shit. But we lived a block away from each other. But like, you know, he was gnarly. His family was gnarly. And I knew that he got into recovery kind of early, like in his mid-20s, late 20s. But he had done a lot of dirt. And I don't know, a few years ago, he started hitting me up on Facebook and he wanted to make amends. And my brother had gotten stabbed in like our hometown. We had like, you know, my house, my mom was a cocktail waitress. She worked nights every night of the week. And so my older brothers were fucking crazy. Like one was a rocker, one was a punk. And, you know, and I was like a skate rat. And all of our mixed group of friends were like fighters and fucking idiots and whatever else and stuff. And, you know, and we just got like attacked one night when there was a bunch of people at the house by a van full of fucking dudes. Turns out there were these guys from Santa Ana, which Santa Ana and Corona beef.
Really, oh, really?
Yeah, it's like big rivalry. But I was like, it was crazy. My brother tried to fight them off and shit and like handled himself. But then on his way in the door of the front door of the house, they like stabbed him in the lung and like fucking threw a 40-ounce bottle against the wall as he was shutting the door behind him, and it broke and came back and shattered in his face. It was a very
traumatic. Your buff brother?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a very traumatic fucking experience for all of us. It was Thanksgiving weekend. And,
of course it was.
And, yeah, but, like, I was just, like, really scared that he was going to tell me that him or his friends had fucking stabbed my brother.
Yeah.
You know? And I just didn't know what I would do with that information, you know?
Yeah.
But it didn't turn out to be that. But it did turn out that he was, like, on PCP, fucking robbed my house one time.
No.
All this bullshit, you know? All this, like, crazy stuff. But, like, it's weird. It's weird when that, you know, shit. Shout out Gibby. But it was good. I mean, that dude was, like me, a super troubled fucking kid that, you know, got sober, which is good, you know? It's crazy.
2006 is when I got sober. But I remember, because I came in, I was married. Abby was her name. So I had sworn off speedballs a long time. Dude.
And speedballs, gluten, and dairy.
Bro, right there. But I remember, like, speedballs took me just so fast into the fucking dirt every time. And I was like, I can't do coke anymore. I'm just sticking to smack.
Yeah.
So I did. I stayed with smack. Like, the coke I couldn't handle.
Yeah.
Like, I was just...
I can relate. The speed, shooting speed, it was like fucking...
I could not...
Yeah.
At least when it was just dope, I could kind of hold it together.
Yeah.
But anything else, forget it.
Yeah.
Yep. And then... But so she was still... She was mostly shooting coke. And, I mean, dude, you cannot... Your body does not let you do that for very long.
Yeah.
Like, you're never... The veins are
they're
fucking gone.
They're
they were gone run, so long ago. And she was still trying to shoot it all the time. And so I know, like whatever else is in coke, it doesn't dissolve in your bloodstream or if it's not in a vein.
Yeah.
And, like, dope will. Like, towards the end, I was just muscling. Like, veins
for
were...
for sure, for sure.
Like, fuck this. Like, I'm not going to hit anything. There isn't anything.
Yeah.
But she was still trying to shoot all the time, and... Her abscesses were so fucking bad, so bad, and she didn't see it, you know, and I remember I was like, Abby, we got to go to treatment. You need to go first. Like, you need to go to the hospital. And so she finally went in, and I think it was Cry Help, which I had been to like fucking four times, you know.
And, me too. Me too.
Yeah, all of them. Did you ever go to ARC?
No.
God,
Danny place. Did though. American Recovery.
Yeah.
Center.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Were they fucking? Were you get? Were they still lighting the one cigarette? You light the one cigarette in the office, and then you run to the bridge, and you got to light everybody else's from it.
Yeah. It was like one step above county.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That place was rough.
A very small step.
Is it still around?
Still around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in Pomona. No drug detox, right? Like, they don't give you any.
No,
meds.
No, they do. Clonidine.
Clonidine.
They put you out
That's
for three
it.
Days.
Oh.
But literally clonidine.
Yeah.
And then, so I was there with, I'll tell you this story real
Do
quick.
It.
I was there with this one fucking, with this one cholo, and they would come around and go, hey, fool, he goes, this is how you did. Hey, I'm going to put you on right now. And I was like, all right. He's like, hey, right when you see them coming with the little nurse card, he's like, get some salt. Oh, you know, he's like, get some salt. Yeah, put the salt under your tongue. He goes, and then start doing jumping jacks, you know? So yeah. Every time you see the nurse start coming around, you fucking get the salt and you put it under your tongue. And he's like, get a little bit of, because they had fruit punch, so they had water and fruit punch. He goes, drink the fruit punch because the salt's fucking heavy, you know? But what it would do is it would fucking skyrocket your blood pressure. So they'd give you two or sometimes three clonidine. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, no. Way.
Yeah.
Yep. And then you'd be out.
I mean, as out as you could be.
Yeah. Some veterano told me the same thing.
No way.
Yeah, so they got it dialed.
The same dude.
Could be on his 27th episode.
Yeah.
Is it in the Valley?
No, Pomona.
Pomona. Yeah.
Oh, right.
American Recovery Center. Yeah.
Pomona, the taint of fucking Southern California.
I still send people there, you know, because like, hey, if you don't got nothing, if you don't got no resources, you call that fucking number and the bed will open up and they'll take you. You know.
And you do come out of there kicked.
Yeah.
Like, you will kick there.
Yeah.
That's the same way that I feel about Tarzana Treatment Center.
No. Yep.
Like, it's rough. And, like, I was there Christmas one year and woke up and, you know, dead kid next to me and shit. Yeah.
Oh,
like,
really? At Tarzana?
Yeah.
No way.
I mean, most of my experiences there were really good. Like, the people that work there, it's like a labor of love. Like, they really want to help people. And
yeah.
Like, and they have, they're one of the few places that have, major funding, so you can get right in almost always. And then they have methadone.
Yeah.
So methadone, they fucking break you off. It's like a really comfortable, the food's okay and stuff. And
I went through there a few times.
Yeah.
Detox East and West.
Yeah, totally. So which one side is like fucked up? It's like a little jail yard with a ping pong table. And you're like,
one side's
dead.
The shoe.
Totally. And then the other side, you have yard access and you're out there like with blankets laying out and shit.
Yep. Tarzana. That's
crazy.
Yeah.
So
Abby, her abscesses were so bad. So she went into cry help and they could treat her and
they take her up to Olive View.
Yeah. They did something, but, and she stayed. Like, she did it. She kicked.
Nice.
And I mean, she came out like we were on a long run. We had, because we were getting an A, like, her mom was paying for most everything. We still worked to buy our dope, but all the bills were paid. So we just stayed fucking high.
Wow.
For 3 years.
Wow.
3 year run. And so she came out, and while she was in there, she got a sponsor who was also an Al-Anon. And I was like,
she's like, I can't talk to you until you have a year,
dude. So she was like, it's your turn. And I was like, oh. And I kept going in, and I was so sick, you know. They would send me to the hospital like, dude, you know none of our meds are working. And I went to American. I'm finally, she was like dude. Like, she was going to meetings and fucking, she was doing the thing. Mm-hmm. She was in, going to Alvarado and everything. We lived right there on Echo Park Avenue. And she's like, you got a few days left, but I can't have you getting high in my house anymore. And I was like,
Abby said that?
Yeah. It was like my ride or die, you know, that was the last.
How dare you? Yeah. How dare you?
And I was like, totally. And I was absconding from felony probation for 5 years. Yeah.
Like, you were on the run for 5 years?
No way.
Yeah.
That's a good run.
I got busted in Glendale, and they gave me, like, they tried to throw the book at me. But, and then I had a DUI in Michigan I was running from. Like, I had no hustle. I was not a good hustler. Uh-huh. And
just a cute-ass white boy.
That's it. Straight up, yeah.
Which is a good hustle
in
itself.
Yeah, it's a good hustle, yeah.
Hey, you get a lot of miles out of it. For a long time.
If you still have all your teeth and shit.
Yeah,
you
got them all. Yeah. And then, so,
at least the front ones. Yeah,
totally.
Oh, yeah,
totally.
No, those were all gone. Yeah. But then she was like, look, dude, I love you, but I want to live.
Wow.
Straight up.
Wow.
And I was like,
oh, wow.
So she took me to the Bimini house and dropped me off.
Ooh.
Which I'd been to before and been kicked out of before. But the Bimini was just like, it's not a detox. It's just a residential.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a rough place. And whatever happened, happened. Like, literally the next morning, I was like, oh, my God. Something's different.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was.
No way.
It was overnight. The obsession was gone.
The white light.
That's
wild. Experience.
Wow.
I did not want to ever not do heroin.
Fuck.
I wanted that shit in my veins all the time, forever. Wow. For sure. Loved it.
And loved you've been sober since.
Yeah.
That was 18 years ago.
That's fucking profound.
Yeah. But so then I started doing all the, you know, started doing the shit, and she went back. She started drinking again and getting loaded. And then when I told you that, there's a lot of people who the last time I saw them alive was in this building. She was one of them. So she died in 2013, and she came back around again. She was out, and like she was raising hell, and she was in bad shape. And she called me, and she's like, "Hey, I want to go to a meeting." And I was like, "Yeah, fucking, of course. Where are you? I'll get you right now." And she looked so bad. Like,
I know her?
You'd met her. Yeah, you'd met her.
Yeah.
And like she was doing methadone and just drinking at this point, so she was huge, and her organs were all failing. But like, I'd take her to fucking Brunswick, take her to Alvarado, take her here, and but like, yeah, the last night I saw her alive was we went Saturday night. And I remember outside under these lights seeing her face, and she was like, "Mikey, I love you." I was like, "I love you too. I'll pick you up Monday. We'll go to Brunswick." But she looked completely different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She wanted out. But that was her last night alive.
Fuck. But wait, what were you talking about? A building a bunch of people the last time you saw them in some building, they died?
Here.
Oh, wow.
This building. Yeah. A lot of fools. A lot of people we know.
Who are some of the other people?
Mike Weiland's one of them.
DH. Last time I saw DH in person was here.
Wow.
Mega Mike.
Mega, yeah, of course. Mega, last time I saw Mega was here. Last time I saw Asa was here.
Oh, my God. Totally, dude.
Yeah. Last time I saw Mega was at Wangle. Do you remember that like West Hollywood meeting, Wangle, that was on Robertson at the...
At the West Hollywood Recovery Center, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think it was at like 10:30 at night or something. Yeah. It was like a late night meeting. But
You know what's so wild is Mega had more time than any of us. Remember that? When I first got sober, he had like 10 years. And that was like 2000.
Did he? Was his jaw doing all that back then?
Yeah.
Back then is a lot of time.
But like him, John G, I met all them dudes.
John G had a lot of time back then, huh?
He had like a couple of years, but John G, he ended up getting a bunch of years. But I'm telling you, like, because we all think of Mega the way, you know, the end, but I want to say he had like 17, 18 years at one point. Something crazy. Like, for a long time, he was sober longer than any of us. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, that dude's got 8 years
He's got it figured out.
Yeah.
Was the jaw thing from shooting coke, or was it from?
I don't know.
Probably meth, right?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I met him when he was living at Mariposa House. Yeah. He was at Mariposa. I don't remember who else was there with him, but they had like a funny house. They had a very funny
Patty
group.
Mac, maybe.
Maybe Patty Mac. I know Jerry Pro was there. I don't know if you guys remember Jerry Provencio. Yeah, he was a dude. But like, I met him all in NA because I was like doing NA there, you know?
And that's where I met him.
Yeah.
That's
he's a big NA.
No, right when you said I was married, I was like, oh, fuck, I remember you like getting a divorce. I totally remember that.
Yeah.
So you stayed sober after that.
Yeah, yeah.
Continued
I stayed.
Doing the deal, working with new guys. Yeah.
Reno just turned this into a docuseries.
Alexa, play.
Yeah.
Trying to think of some piano music.
Oh, man.
Play Enya.
You know who turned me on to? I didn't know you guys had a fucking podcast. Is my friend Ross Robinson. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't
He's a producer. He did like the Korn and Slipknot records.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he did all of our records, Dead Cross.
Oh, okay.
And we were recording. He's like, "Mike, you would love this. You would love this podcast,
man.
That's
cool.
Check it out." And I was like, "No fucking way!" I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
Shout out Ross Robinson.
You're like, "I know every one of them."
No, dude, he's a huge fan. You guys got some. Cool. You guys got some high-powered fans.
Yeah. What's the guy who owns Trails? Mickey Pichello, or is it the other guy?
I don't know. Trails.
Trails Cafe,
or is it Mario Caldada?
No, there is.
One of those two is the ones who turned Eric Newman onto us. Like, another producer is very random.
Yeah.
Shout out Ross Robinson. Shout out Eric Newman.
Yeah.
Look us up.
But Ross is like, "Mike, you got to go on there and tell the story." So I got to tell it. It was when, right across from the Bright Spot, you know how that's where Bonnie Bray starts?
Yeah.
That's Bonnie Bray.
Yeah.
So.
Really?
Yeah. That's where it starts. So Abby and I lived in the yellow building right there.
The one on the corner, yeah.
Yeah, we were all strung out, and Jeff Davies also lived in the building. It was rough. And two things. One time, so we would go to work. We were washing dogs for a living, and we were strung
out.
Me and Gabby, yeah, and we were strung out. And I remember we'd get up and go to work, and like there was just the worst fucking smell that was starting.
Wait, hold on, you were strung out washing dogs for a living.
Dog grooming. We had a mobile dog grooming business, and we were full blown junkies.
That is fucking
incredible.
Yeah, that was great.
Hey man, this one's acting a little bit. I don't know. Dude, spray him with some deodorant.
And I remember one time Abby was clipping a poodle and she nicked its ear.
Oh fuck.
And they bleed really bad, even though it's a little tiny cut. And the poodle was shaking its head and it looked like a fucking crime scene in the van.
Oh, shit.
And the owners were coming and I'm like, Abby, clean all the fucking blood. It looks so bad. It looks so bad. You got to clean all the blood. But anyways, that's besides the point.
Fuck.
So the smell got so fucking vile and brutal at our apartment building. Every time we would go up the stairs but we would just go home and shoot dope and chain smoke all day and then get up and go to work. That was it. And and then it was like a Saturday and we heard the fire department kick down a door down the hall. And it was some lady had died in there, and she was in there for like 2 weeks.
Oh man!
So every day we smelled her body. It was the worst thing I've ever smelled in my life.
That's what everyone says is this smell.
It's the worst smell. There's nothing like
it.
It's
so putrid and fucking disgusting. Ugh. Okay, that's not the story. The story is, so we had cats, and you know, we were always like, okay, we're kicking. That's it. Fucking done. We got the pills, you know, from the doctor on Larchmont, who was doing all that shit way back in the day.
Oh, what was that guy? Yeah.
Do you remember what I was talking about? He was sketchy.
Yeah.
But he would sell us all this shit off.
He was like a detox kit.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Uh-huh, that's it.
Yeah.
And he was on Larchmont. Yeah.
Fuck, what was his name?
I heard this from
Jerry. Was it Jerry?
Or was it? No. There was two of them, because there was one that was by USC. There was Thomas Farham.
Okay.
But I don't remember where he was at. And then I don't remember the doctor over there. But like, yeah. But I had
a... He had a whole system worked out. It was expensive.
Uh-huh.
But so we were like, all right, we're kicking. Fuck that. Throw the rigs away. So I gathered up all the needles, you know, in the morning. I was scooping out the litter boxes. And I threw all the cat shit, you know, and the needles, everything together. Took them out, threw them in the trash.
Oh, no.
I know where this is going.
And so on our way home, we were like, fuck it, let's just get high until the week, you know, like, we can't, I don't want to kick yet. Okay, fine. Did you call so-and-so? Angel, I think, was our connection. Did you call Angel? He's on his way. 10 minutes.
And, 10 minutes.
And so she's like, you saved some needles, right? I was like, no, you told me to throw them all away. I fucking threw them away. She's like, go get them out of the trash. Because we were going to the needle exchange Roxy was doing.
Yeah.
Down on Burlington and anyway, so I went and got the needles out with the cat shit and by this time, I mean flies, and it was fucking disgusting. And but I bleached them out. Doesn't do a goddamn thing. We fixed, and I've never been so fucking violently ill my life.
Oh, like cat dookie?
Cat shit, yeah. Like my head, like I thought it was, we were going to go to the ER. I was like, my fucking head hurts so bad. Oh my God, what the fuck?
Cotton fever.
She's like, what the fuck, Mikey? What the fuck? I thought you bleached them. And I'm like, I did. So yeah, we shot up cat.
I don't know, I think you know Morgan, but Morgan has Morgan was copping some over on St. Andrews behind the Home Depot. And he goes in there, and there's a cholo in there, but there's a TV playing porn, and there's a chick sleeping on the couch, right?
Oh, yeah, I know this one, yeah.
And the dude's just sitting there, like, watching, and he's like, oh, it's me and my old lady, like, watching porn of himself. And Morgan's like, this is weird. He's like, gets his issue, gets down, leaves. He comes back a couple days, like, 2 days later. Same thing, but Shags looks at the couch, he's like, in the same girls there, but in the same clothes, in the same position.
Oh, shit.
And he's like, oh, fuck, that chick's dead. And the dude's still sitting there watching the porn.
Oh, my God.
And then Shags went back like 2 days later, and the cholo's gone. It was just the body rotting, and Shags sat there.
Got one in.
Dark.
It's so fucking wild where this disease takes people, you know? It's just so
and
funny.
Now, dude, with fentanyl?
Dude, it's rowdy.
It's crazy.
That's fucking chemical.
It's crazy. That's like,
it is.
That's something else.
That's chemical fucking warfare.
There's something else going on.
Yeah, dude, it's something else.
That shit's all coming from China. Everybody knows it's killing people, and the borders are open. It's coming right through.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's unbelievable. Every couple of days or every other week, there's like a record-breaking fentanyl bust with like, you know, 39 kilos, 50 kilos. It's just like, what the fuck?
One of my sponsees, he's been sober 2 years. He got sober right out of prison. He went from prison to Impact. And he was telling us that, he's like, dude, I saw the Southsiders flush ounces of fentanyl. Like, they banned it. Like, in the joint. He's
no
like,
way.
Yeah, they were like, uh-uh. Get rid of that shit. And he's like, dude, I watched him flush tons of fentanyl in the joint. It's like, wow.
Just because that shit's death. Yeah, and it's just like not good for business type thing. Yeah.
At least in that particular prison he was in, they were like, get rid of it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's fucking wild. Yeah. Well, supposedly it's like, doesn't have legs. You don't stay high. You got to keep fucking smoking it. And you don't know.
You've never done
like,
it either. Huh?
I never. You know what? I did China White in like 2014. I got sober in 2015. 2014. There was like an amount, there was like this China White that started coming around that like the paisas would sell or like black dudes were selling. And like, they didn't have any plugs in fucking China, you know, there wasn't this shit, was it, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember being like, this is something we, you know, like, you know, and fools were kind of about it and it was very expensive, like very, very expensive, you know? And it was very strong.
Oh, really?
Very strong. And it got you really, really high. But for a very short amount of time.
That's what they say about fentanyl. Yeah.
So is that even dope? Does like real China White do that? Was that
I never had real China White. You know, yeah.
So, I mean, all the youngsters who are coming in now, they'll tell you the exact same story like that. Like, apparently you're really high, but a short time.
Yeah. So what's interesting is, so you know, I also got my needles from the needle exchange from Roxy.
Saved
you know,
my life.
Yeah. Years later, you know, different time, and then right when I got sober. I found out that I had shared needles with the guy. I don't know if I ever told this before in here. I shared needles with the guy. There was a dude that I grew up with who was a Russian dude who I went to like elementary school and junior high. And then he started getting busted really early on and would go away. And then he would come back and he was a Southsider. It was like a Russian Southsider, you know, out of his mind, you know.
That's wild.
And he would come out and be like, hey, what's up, fool? What's up, fool? You know, and I'm like, what up? He's like, hey, I heard you're fucking tweaking, you know. It's crazy how they know everything that's going on, you know. But, hey, I heard you're tweaking. He's like, hey, fool, I heard you're a junkie now, too. He's like, me too, you know. And I'm like, hell yeah. He's like, hey, I got some really, I got some really good fucking Skonte if you got some black. And I was like, yeah, for sure. And we went and we fixed it. And I always had clean needles. And like, I ran into him once. And he was like, hey, he's like, you're good, right? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. He's like, you don't got nothing, right? And I was like, no, I don't got nothing. He's like, all right, cool. He's like, let's go. And I didn't want him knowing where I live, you know, because he's one of those motherfuckers, sure. You know? So, but if anybody ever did me dirty, I could like, he was a call away and he'd be like, where they at? He's like, cool, I'll take care of it. He's like, just wait outside, you know? And would like come out and give me half of everything they had, you know? And he's like, I'm taking half. He's like, you're taking half. Don't ask questions about what happened inside. And I was like, cool, you know? Like numerous times. Damn. When like anybody ever like, you know, came up short anything, he's like, just let me know. If he was out, you know? And so we go to the Chevron gas station just by the 101 freeway on Cahuenga. And we go in the bathroom. I'll never forget it. You know, it's like, and he's like, you're good, right? You don't got nothing. I was like, I don't got nothing. He's like, all right, cool. I'm clean. He's like, all right, cool. And like, no bleach, nothing. You know, we're in the fucking bathroom. So he's like, fucking, he had some, and it was, he had great meth, you know? And so we're doing goofballs. And he's like, all right, cool. I'll do the first one. You go after, you know, wash it out in the fucking bathroom with cold water, you know, fucking he gets one in, I get one in. It was like one of the best goofballs I've ever done in my entire life. Yeah. We go our separate ways, you know. I get, I think I go into treatment and I run into his ex, another Russian girl that I grew up with, you know. And I think she's still clean. She's an NA, she had kids and everything. She goes, I heard you were kicking it with whoop-de-whoop. You know, I would never say his name on here. And I was like, yeah, for sure. She's like, you didn't share no needles with him, did you? And I was like, of course not. Why would I? She's like, okay, thank God, because he's Hep C and HIV positive.
Oh, damn.
And I remember like, dude, like I fucking
your heart just, yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I get into fucking treatment and I'm going to die of AIDS, you know, like immediately, you know? And so I go and I'm like, I need you. I was at CRLA. My insurance hadn't even kicked in yet. And I was like, I need to get blood work done immediately, you know? And they're like, your insurance hasn't kicked in yet. You got it. And I was like, no, I need to go now. They're like, it's going to cost you. Mom, I need to get fucking, you know, so like you need to pay for this now, you know? So she goes and runs.
You're a better man than I am. Yeah. I was like scared to get tested.
Yeah, no,
I was
no, like super no,
scared. I didn't want to know. I was like, ignorance is bliss.
Oh, no. I was tripping. I found out that I shared needles with a guy that has HIV and Hep C. I get tested, negative on both. Right? Damn. On both. But then they're like, you got to wait, right? You got to wait 6 months and get retested because it could still come up.
Yeah, right.
So I go and the needle exchange did hep C testing. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go get tested there because they just started doing it. I was like, oh, I'll go do it there just because whatever, you know. I'll go see, like, there's this dude, Brian. I don't know if you know Brian Lopez.
Of course.
Yeah. So Brian, I was like, I'm going to go see Brian and say what's up and Roxy. And, like, I'll go see him. I had, like, 4 months sober. And I pulled up and I got tested and I was negative for both, hep C and HIV.
That's
After that. And, like, so and I had this thought where I was like, dude, if it wasn't for this place, if it wasn't for the needle exchange, I would 10,000,000% have gotten, at the very least, hep C, you know?
For sure.
Because right when I started using IV, like IV drugs, I started going to the needle exchange, you
Me
know?
Too.
And the people that I was hanging out with were all scared to go because they're like, nah, fool, the cops are watching. So I would get all the junkies in Hollywood and all the tweakers' rigs, take them there, and I'd leave with like 500 cleans, 1,000 cleans, you know? And I would have them to fucking hand out.
Sell them for a buck a piece.
Buckets, yeah. And then I started volunteering there, and I volunteered there for 4 years.
Oh.
Until COVID hit, and COVID shut it down. Then, like, because we couldn't volunteer there, we started doing, like, our own little volunteer thing, which then, like, kind of sort of turned into fucking, that was, like, Sunday. You know, we would do it Sunday nights in Hollywood at the Needle Exchange. We couldn't volunteer there. We started doing our own Sunday night outreach. That kind of turned into Feed the Streets, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then full circle, like a few years ago, I get hit up by Community Health Project, you know? They were like, hey, we're looking for specialty trainers. We kind of don't think there's anybody better than you for the thing. So then I went back and started working for them, doing trainings, doing harm reduction and drug trend trainings for the fucking same organization.
That's so cool,
like, saved my life. Yeah.
Also,
I'm still technically an employee there, too.
Also, shout out. OD'd in the bathroom here.
Oh, yeah, that's a great story.
Yeah.
Have you told that on this yet?
Twice, yeah.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah.
Tell him what the owner told you.
Dude, yeah, I mean, Donato was he was like, you can come to the meeting, you can come to the cafe. He said, please don't come to the bathroom.
Oh, because they, like, kicked the door down, right?
Uh-huh. One time it was Silk. It was my homie Silk, who's, like, a homeless dude in Echo Park, still on the streets right now. Like, I see him all the time, and he fucking came in, kicked the door in, and Narcan, or maybe, like, slapped me around or whatever, you know, like he brought me out of it. And the second time, it was paramedics.
Have you tried to get him into treatment or no?
So many times. He was the reason that I got into treatment.
Oh.
He was in treatment, and he called me, and he was in Colorado, and I was like, fuck, maybe, you know.
Chris
Cleary's got him into treatment. Yeah. We've got, and he's, like, on the street. He literally, like, you guys have all seen him. He would come to Alvarado and would steal snacks from there and charge his phone and take off. Yeah.
I've seen him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really? Like, I got those fools. Yeah. Uh-huh. Charge his phone. Yeah, steal snacks.
Exactly. Yeah. Those fools. Steal some fucking, some off-brand Oreos, you know.
Yeah.
Some Jorios.
Hi-hos or something.
Everyone tried to get Boyd into treatment, dude, for a while there.
Oh, Boyd?
Yeah. Like, everyone was trying to hook him up. Like,
when he was at, he was, somebody told me that he was at Echo Park Lake, and I was like, I went around looking and asking people, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's over there. He was in this tent over here. And I was like, trying to find him when, like, Echo Park was all cracking off. And, know? And they're like, oh, he's over there. You know, everybody's all telling you where he's at, and I couldn't find him. And then the week after that, we found out that he had passed.
Yeah, you know who did find him right before? It was, Jim. Jim does homeless stuff, and Jim ran into him right on the 110, like living in a tent right next to the Pasadena Freeway. Yeah.
Pasadena Freeway?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And he took a picture of him. I saw a picture of him right before he died. He did not look good.
He was downtown, right?
He died downtown, right?
Yeah.
On Skid Row.
There's There's so many people that are like these angels, you know, like Chris Collins, like fucking, dude, like Boyd. There's so many people like DH that went... And fucking Mega, Asa, Aldi, that went and, like, put Mike Ayers, you know? Guys that went and pulled people out. Like, dude, Mike Ayers and fucking Victoria went to Skid Row and found Little Andy. And God, we're like, we're not giving up. We're going to get, you know? Like, look at Little Andy. They're like, these people, if it wasn't for them, there's hundreds of people that would be alive.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Mike, you ever smoke PCP?
No.
You ever seen a ghost?
Yeah.
Can we hear that?
All right, let's hear it. These are two questions we always ask.
I brought you a video. Speaking of ghosts,
what?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can either airdrop it to you now or after. Dude. Just don't play the audio because the people on it are really freaked out and they don't want it on the internet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But it's a ghost thing. It's fucking creepy.
You know them?
I don't know them personally, but my ex does. Wow. Okay. She got it from them. But so, my mom is really kind of tapped into that
supernatural
energy. Field of lost souls, You know what I mean? Like, I don't think this definitely isn't it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
There's no fucking way. But she's always had run-ins with the dead and stuff like that since I was a kid. And the most recent experience I had was on coming back from San Francisco or something. My ex-girlfriend and I were driving. It was during the winter. We were coming down the 5, you know, just fucking hauling ass through. I was in the number one lane, the fast lane, going through Burbank, 65 miles an hour. And the divider, out of the corner of my eye, I see it looks like somebody, but with like a jacket, like they're going to jump off it like this, but like leaning over. And it's fucking fast lanes on both sides. And it's this wide up there. And they were just standing like this, not moving. And we drove by and I was like, holy shit, did you fucking see that? What the fuck? And I was like, we should call 911. Like, that motherfucker's going to jump into traffic. She called 911. They didn't find anybody. And I'm like, you know what? Google if there was any accidents here recently. And there was a pedestrian who had jumped off.
No way.
Yeah. And killed himself right there.
Where? On the 5?
Yeah. Burbank. Wow.
Has your mom seen all kinds of ghosts?
Yeah, she's seen a bunch of shit. One experience that freaked me out that I did not like, and Dave will know this house and know this person, was this girl we used to know, Jessie, who I dated for a while. But she took over this house that her dad owned. We all stayed there all the time. And her aunt had passed away in one of the bedrooms. And everyone who stayed there was like, dude, what the fuck kept me up all night? You know, that was crazy. And so I'll never forget this. Like, her and I had started doing drugs together. And then it was like in the honeymoon phase, you know, so we were clean. And I remember because you and her drove to San Francisco to see the Contortions with Unwound. And I stayed back at her place. And I was like, well, I'll stay here for the weekend. Fucking first night, dude, I was on the couch. Oh, no, I tried to go to bed. And books just, whoa, right off the shelf. Like the harem, like I was.
Like Exorcist style? Fucking.
Dude, I'm afraid of that shit. Like,
me too.
None of that was cool.
Did you just bounce?
So I kind of didn't have a place to go at that time.
Yeah.
So I just went to the
living room. So you're like, hey, you bitch, you better back off.
I was fucking terrified. I opened the front door, turned on all the lights, put the TV on.
Yeah.
Like, opened everything up, like, yeah, it was daytime.
Yeah, yeah.
And tried to fall asleep on the couch, but she kept pushing shit over, knocking shit down, slamming doors.
No way.
Yeah,
fuck.
Straight up. And, dude, I did not like it.
Oh,
I was like,
this is
fucking terrifying.
I saw The Exorcist when I was like 10 years old, and it's just burned in my brain. That's still to this day one of the fucking scariest
movies. Oh,
that's
good. It's terrifying.
But, like, that shit moving on its own. And
I don't like it.
It's too much.
Me either.
Don't like it at all.
Yeah.
So was it like all night you were trying to sleep and shit kept happening?
Yeah, I didn't sleep at all.
Yeah.
Every time I would start to pass out, she would knock something down. I'd go pick it up. Be like, dude, this is fucked up. I am not into this.
Oh, wow.
Not into this at all. That was like, that was the only time where it was like a malevolent energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, my aunt, Sean, was murdered in 1992.
Oh, shit.
And I've had a few experiences with her.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
So, in the valley?
No, she was in Michigan.
Oh.
Oh, man. Yeah,
her boyfriend killed her.
That's awful. Oh, sorry.
Mm. Wild shit.
I think we're good.
Dude, thank you for
On that note.
Yeah.
No, I mean, dude. Thank you for coming out.
That was awesome.
Thanks
for having me.
You got anything?
You fucking killed it.
You got anything you want to plug? Anything at all?
Oh, yeah. No, wait. Which band's touring? Yeah.
Oh, Cunts.
Cunts.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
The Cunts.
The Cunts. That's in October. With it's just like a week of dates, but it's with High on Fire and Exhumed.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Good shit.
That's it. Yeah.
Thank you so
much.
Thanks
so
much.
That was so tight. Yeah. And thank you guys. Thank you guys for listening. We'll have more episodes soon.
Dude, I could have sat here all night with fucking cranes.
Dude, literally. Yeah. I don't even know what time it is anymore. Yeah. That was great. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.